Leaders are all around us, at all times, and in every area of our lives. They motivate, they risk the first step. But what motivates a leader? In our Central Texas Leadership Series, KWBU has invited local leaders to talk with people they know who guide and inspire to find out what makes them tick. In this episode, Elton Stuckley, president of Texas State Technical College, Waco. Dr. Stuckley received his first college degree, an Associate of Applied Science in Electrical Power Technology, from what was then TSTI. After working in industry for 12 years, he returned to TSTC to teach. Prior to being named president, he served as department chair, technology cluster director, and dean of instruction, as well as interim president. Hosting the conversation is Liz Taylor, director of the Waco Convention Center. This interview was recorded June 8, 2011, in the KWBU studio.
Welcome to KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Liz Taylor, talking today with Dr. Elton Stuckley, president of Texas State Technical College, right here in Waco. And Elton, it's so great to have you. I appreciate you coming in, giving us your time. I know how busy things are right now this time of year. You're dealing with a lot of legislative things as well as running a university. So thank you.
I'm happy to be here. It is a busy time. The spring, and it's funny, I'm starting my 25th year with the college, and in the past, always the summers would be somewhat, you know, you'd have a little time. But this time with the session and the shortage of money, and it's just been an interesting spring. And, you know, woke up this morning and it's going to be the middle of June, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, where'd this year go
yeah,
to?
Really? So. Where did the year, and where did just this month of June go? Because it's been a crazy, crazy time. I know in my world, we always traditionally we always saw a lot of conventions and travel. Everything started, it really started picking up in the summer. And now it's fairly a lot more consistent across the whole year. So I understand what you're saying on that. It doesn't just happen during the school year. It happens throughout, and especially during a legislative year.
You're exactly correct. It just seems like, and maybe I'm wrong, it's just that there's more and more going on and our college is growing. And so it just... It seems like you just have to really pace yourself to make sure you get everything done that you need to do. So,
yeah, absolutely. Well, let's kind of get started. Tell me about. I know a little about you, but I don't know a lot about you.
Okay.
So, talk about your background, and you know, where you're from, your family, anything like that, dreams, ambitions.
Well, I grew up in a little town about 30 miles east of here, Penelope, Texas.
Oh.
And I graduated. I lived out on the farm.
Okay.
Had wonderful parents. My mother did graduate from high school. My father did not. He had to quit after the seventh or eighth grade. And of course, that was kind of probably more than the norm back then,
yeah,
in that particular area.
Same for
and
my parents. Yeah.
So I graduated from Penelope High School in 1973 and had no idea what I wanted to do. And the only thing, I had wonderful parents, very successful farmers, but it didn't have a whole lot of guidance as far as a career choice. The only thing they would tell me is, son, you don't want to farm, you
right.
know, because it was very hard.
I've heard that all my life,
so
too.
So I tell everybody I graduated in the top 10 of my class. There were only 10. So, you know, that always gets a laugh. But my career has been interesting. I decided to go to TSTI at the time and graduated from the electrical power technology there in 1975 and worked in industry for 12 years. And then I was asked to come back and teach.
Okay.
And I took a job there in the department that I had graduated from. And then stranger things have happened. I moved up to department chair and then division director and interim vice president for instruction and then vice president for instruction. And then I served as interim president three times.
Yes.
And now president for 8 years.
Yes.
8 years next month will be 8 years
as president.
Well,
congratulations on that. I know that it from where I sit in the community that we are, first of all, we're so fortunate to have TSTC here in Waco, and then to have someone like you who understands the value of the whole community, because you've certainly shown that with what you've how you've been involved and involved the TSDC in the community. So I just wanted to say I appreciate you for that.
Well, thank you. I love Waco. Everybody knows it, and there's not a finer place to live. And Waco is blessed by having Baylor, MCC, and TSTC. We are not competitors. We complement each other
Absolutely.
In the different things we do.
Absolutely. I think you put that very well, I think from a tourism side, I look at it and I don't see Waco as being a one-dimensional community, because we have multidimensional industries, and part of that is education, and the variety of what our higher institutions bring to the community is just really incredible.
If you want an education, if you're in Waco and you want education locally, you can get one. I can assure you.
Absolutely, and so it's about ambition.
That's
and
right.
I think it's also about influences on from our own lives, leadership influences.
No doubt.
Who influenced you to? You talked about your parents. Mm-hmm. You talked about your family, but without that, who came out as very strong leader for you? Was it someone from the university, from TSTC, or was it someone else in the community?
You know, I guess looking back at it, because you hear of people climbing the ladder. Mm-hmm. I was actually pushed up the ladder. It was kind of a strange, it's just a whole interesting, I could write a book on my career at TSTC, but I will tell you the big influence, and I tell everybody I am by no means the smartest person on this earth, but I will tell you I'm extremely hard worker, and I got that from the farm and my parents, because my father, who never graduated from high school, very smart man, though, because he always told me, he said, I don't know where you're going to wind up, but you need to remember two things. You better be willing to work as hard or harder than anybody that works for you, and you're only as good as the people you work with.
That's
and,
right.
Boy, if you remember that, there's something to be said for that, because it's paid off.
That is absolutely – that's great advice, and I think that's a great – a great watchword there as you go through life. What do you think are some important decisions that leaders have to make?
Well, I will tell you, number one, you have to have some type of vision and strategic plan to move forward. And it's hard in this day and age to budget and put a strategic plan together, because you never know when the state's going to come back and want money back or cut your budget. And so it is difficult. But the first thing you have to do is put a good team together, because there's so many things to do as a president. Without a good team, you're only as good as the people you work with.
That's right.
And it took me... I told a gentleman, the president of Southwestern University, he and I had a meeting together one time. I was interviewing him for a class I was in. And I told him, he said, Elton, how do you feel about your team? I said, well, to be honest with you, it took me about 5 years to find the right people. He said, well, don't feel bad. It took me 12. And so, but that's key. But you have to,
right.
And the other thing you have to do, you have to be willing to hear the truth and not what... I don't want to be surrounded with people that are going to come up to me every day and tell me how great and wonderful and tell me things they think I want to hear. I want to be told the way it is.
The way it is.
That's the only way we can address things and move forward.
That is excellent. So when you think about your leadership team, some of those qualities, tell me what some of those qualities are that they exhibit.
Well, number one, honesty.
Okay.
If you want to be off the team and working somewhere else, the first thing to do is to continuously lie and not tell the truth, because your word is everything. And for myself, it's being a servant leader, because my job is to help them do what they need to do for their divisions, to have the budget, to have what they need, to coordinate everything, to allow them to do their jobs. So it's just important, but honesty, integrity, you have to be ethical. I mean, there's just certain things that are, I call them common sense things, because if you're going to be part of the team, you have to have the respect of the others. And without those characteristics, it's just not going to be.
Where does the characteristic of that I'm looking at notes over here, but where does forward thinking come in for you?
It's important, but I've run across people that consider themselves visionary, mm-hmm. and have great ideas and great thoughts, but never could implement anything.
Okay,
it was always all talk and no action. And there has to be a combination there. You have to be forward-thinking, but you have to use common sense and set goals that are realistic.
Sure.
Because if you try to set goals and say, in 5 years I want to be here, if it's a goal that's impossible to reach, your team is just going to say, okay, Elton, well,
we're there, but
what did we do? And,
yeah.
I guess the other key point, you have to have some type of measurement of what you've achieved or have not achieved. Simply setting goals and saying, well, we did this year, and then next year you jump into something else, that's all fine and good. But if you never have a feedback loop to look at what you put into place, how it was measured, what the results were, then how do you know if it truly worked
right.
or did not work?
That's great. That's great. For those of you who are just joining us, this is KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Liz Taylor, talking with Dr. Elton Stuckley, president of TSTC Waco. I think, you know, you've just hit it right on the nail right on the head about making decisions and making hard decisions. And I know I've always told folks in my group and my team, they'll express, gosh, I don't, you know, Liz, I don't know how you do it. You have to juggle so many things and you have to make so many decisions. And I said, you know, if they were easy decisions, I wouldn't have to make them. You know, it's the hard decisions that propel you beyond, and that's sometimes what we sometimes have to remind our team that I'll make that decision, but you know, we've all got to help.
That's correct.
Get there. Where do you think great ideas come from?
I will tell you, you know, as I said, well, sometimes it's interesting. We have almost 700 employees, and I don't know if you remember Walt Disney or not. You know, you used to tell him, Walt, you're such a visionary. He said, heck, my best ideas come from within the organization by getting out there and wandering around and visiting with people, and all of a sudden one of them will throw out an idea, and 2 years later it's a reality.
Right.
And so you'd be amazed at some of the things that we've implemented where the ideas came from within.
And how do you have a way of recognizing that?
We try to do that through awards, whether it's monetary, whether it's something to show that we like to get people's ideas, and
initiative coming.
That's right. We just don't give me your ideas and then they never hear anything. You know, we try to coordinate that, set up some type of little programs on campus where we take ideas, even for the budget this year.
Okay.
We knew the budget was going to be difficult. So in the first of the year, I sent out a campus-wide email and said, folks, I need your help. We're looking at cost-saving ideas. Send those to me and we'll see.
Oh, I bet
we'll
you got a lot.
We did. We did. Some were very good.
Yeah.
One of them that I had never even crossed my mind just because of my calendar and was, why do we have an 800 number? Every person today has a cell phone.
Yeah.
And so we started looking at the cost of that, and I'm not sure it was maybe a couple of thousand dollars a month, but you know what? That's a couple of thousand dollars a
sure.
month. And
sure.
so, great idea.
Sure.
So
and
we recognize
it came from within, and then
It didn't come from the executive team.
That's right.
It never crossed my mind. So you just don't ever know.
That's right.
You never know.
You don't. What do you think are important? We've kind of talked about character traits, but what do you think are important character traits that leaders have? Either leaders today or leaders from the past. Maybe someone in history.
Well, you look back and, you know, you're George Washington, Abraham, you know, and you study all of that when you're in school, and you hear Army generals, you know, and all of those folks and presidents of the United States past, even the recent ones. And I think they just have a desire to do what they believe is the right thing. And they have a passion for a certain area, whether it's education or whether it's something else. And then they find the way to make that passion a reality and to move forward. So without it inside, mm-hmm. without having that burning desire to do something good and to make a difference, you're not going to be a leader.
Do you think that that is being communicated in a way that it can be understood and practiced by to young people today for the future?
I really do. I mean, because let's face it, I'll be 56 here next month, and, you know, someday we're going to pass off the baton, or my generation will to the next. And we want to make sure there are individuals there that have that same desire and passion and want to make, you know, not only Waco, the state of Texas, the United States, a great place to be. And that's what we need.
And you're in a plum position to see people coming through, young people coming into the education and getting education. Do you feel really confident about the crop out there of
leaders?
Oh,
I do. I will tell you, you know, you hear, a lot of times you only hear the bad.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you, there's a lot of good that goes on.
There's a lot more good than
there
is bad.
It just doesn't get communicated.
Yeah, well, it doesn't make news.
No, it doesn't. And it's unfortunate. And in my job, sometimes I have to deal with the difficult situations.
Yes.
And I see the not so good. But I will tell you, when graduation comes around, and when we have on average 300 to 350 walk across the stage, it makes a difference,
makes,
I tell you.
It all
there's,
comes
there's
together.
There's hope. There's still, there's no doubt in my mind, we will be all right.
Well, and I don't want to get, not too much into like a commercial about TSTC, but in the fields of study that TSTC puts out, what's happening out there? Do you feel it, from a leadership standpoint, that is, are there things going on that will enrich our lives from a technological, some of the stuff happening out in the world?
It's hard to say. I will tell you, there is a national crisis right now about the shortage of trained technicians across the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we feel like we're in the driver's seat because
sure.
we help fill that need. But technology changes so quickly.
So quickly. And science is becoming, again, such an important part. It's always been important, but I think the focus on it now is
And well, the biggie for TSTC is, of course, what they call, referred to as the STEM initiative, science, technology, mm-hmm. engineering, and math. And our goal is to try to get students interested early on to guide them in the direction. You know, and it's not that technology is for everyone, but having grown up in a remote area and not being exposed to what's out there,
mm-hmm.
I feel like every child has an opportunity to see what's there and have them make a decision and pick something that they enjoy doing for a lifetime.
That's great. Looking at and talking about the positive parts of being a leader, what do you think is a character trait or a downfall that poses the greatest threat to a leader?
I think, well, I will tell you, let me think. I think sometimes, a lot of times, people become workaholics in their job.
Okay.
And I have to kind of watch out for that. And
kind of lose sight of the...
Yes, you do, of really what's important in life. And not that TSTC and my job is not important, but I will tell you that's something I struggle with all the time. And I have a very, very wonderful wife who reminds me of that constantly, because sometimes you just work, and it's not good to work that much, because then I think there's times you become tired and you make bad decisions.
That's...
And
That's a good point.
You just don't want to do that.
That's an excellent point. Excellent point. For those of you just joining us, this is KWBU Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Liz Taylor, and I'm talking today with Dr. Elton Stuckley, president of TSTC Waco. And we're talking about leadership. And I think your observations about overwork or being workaholics, I think that's great. I think if we're too tired because we are overworked and overstressed, we don't make good decisions, and we're not our sharpest. And we have to, that's one of the things we have to, I think, always remember is to, you know, sharpen the knives a little bit every day, every night. But thinking about education in the future, what do you think, do you feel like that we have... We're set ourselves up pretty well to address what needs to happen for leadership, for our leaders in the future from an education standpoint?
From education, you know, throughout the history of education for hundreds of years, it's slow to change. And I think we have to make some drastic changes over the next few years because kids are different today. We live in a technology world. Mm-hmm. There's iPhones, there's this, there's, you know, and some of the terms, Twitter and all of this stuff. And, you know, but technology changes so quickly that we have to find ways of teaching students. The days of standing in front of the chalkboard and taking a math class, mm-hmm. and the instructor writing with his right hand and erasing with the left hand, right. And going, those days are over because sure. Kids don't learn that way anymore. They want to be engaged. They want everything at their fingertips, and they have it. And they have it with technology, and they can. And if we don't provide it, someone will. So you have to be flexible.
Okay. And I think that's a good point. And flexible and thinking about the attention span.
That's right.
I know that we have, you know, people, I see it in our own workforce, our existing workforce, much less that coming into the workforce, you know, instantaneous communication, but instantaneous results. And, you know, it's kind of frightening sometimes.
It really is.
That people feel so jaded about getting that quick information.
It's there at the press of a button. Yeah. And even my grandchildren, the ones when they were 5 and 6 years old, they were already on a keyboard. Mm-hmm. Playing games, and now that they're 9, 10, 7, 8 years old, you know, that everything is right there, and they expect that. So how do they learn? They want information now. They want to have access to it now, and they want different ways of learning, period.
But they're not learning too much different stuff or different things than what we learn.
No,
they're
but
just
it's
learning it different.
Different techniques.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting. I heard an instructor say this one time. He was up there trying to lecture, and the kids were in the chairs coming up with answers off of their iPhone before he could even.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sort of like, well,
they were ahead of him on that thread.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, wow, as an instructor, you better come up with some different things and new ideas because students are on the cutting edge of technology, where sometimes the faculty in my generation are not, and that's the reality of it.
Wow. So you've kind of started down this road, but tell me, what do you think are the greatest leadership needs in Waco and Central Texas?
Boy, that's a real tough one. I think...
And I'm going to add to that, where? Not just what, but where? Is it in education? Is it out in the business community? You know, the greatest leadership needs.
I think Waco has some very outstanding leaders. I'm just not sure that we have a person that has come to the top to tie all of that together. I think there's still maybe silos in some areas to where we're not... I think there have been and are some excellent leaders in Waco. I'm just not sure, and I think a lot of times it's busy schedules. Everybody's on such a just frantic. A time schedule that. Yeah. But there are some good leaders in Waco. I'm just not sure that there's a mechanism for bringing everything together.
Yeah. Okay. That's great. Well, what advice would you have for a new leader or someone maybe who you've welcomed to Waco through TSTC and you recognize they're going to be a good leader for not just for you, but maybe for the whole community? What advice would you give them?
One thing, if they come to Waco, they're not from this area, they need to get out and meet the Waco people and find out that they're in a great community. And then I think they have to earn the trust of the community and the leaders that are in the community and be willing to work hard and be willing to make tough decisions and be willing to do whatever they can do to improve this community and move forward to the next item. And it's just important. There's so many things going on that we just have to funnel them in the right direction and keep moving forward. I had breakfast with Judge Starr, the president at Baylor, a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about schedules, and we're partnering with them on the research institute over here, the BRIC. Right. And, you know, my calendar is horrible. His is horrible plus. And we were laughing, and it's sometimes you look around, you don't even know what day of the week it is. Is it Tuesday or Thursday? And it's just interesting, but everybody is pushing to make Waco a better community. And it's just sometimes we have to stop, focus, look at what everybody's doing, put it out on the table, and then look at what's working, what's not working, pick out the best, and move forward.
That's great. That's great. Wow. And that's actually a great way for us to kind of wrap up what we're talking about here with leadership. I really appreciate this opportunity to kind of get to know you a little bit better and understand how you think about our community. And I thank you for you giving your time today. I know how precious that is.
Well, so thank you for having me. It's always good to talk about good things in Waco.
Absolutely. Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome.
Okay.
You've been listening to KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. This and past episodes are archived online at kwbu.org.